And on this cloudy Tuesday, we welcome you in here on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, 107.5 FM, and 106.3 FM, the South Gym. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, Kyle Mann across the way. Behind the glass, he is our producer once again for the program. And I'm with everybody else out there. Yeah, it feels like a Monday, but it is a Tuesday. As I hope everyone out there enjoyed your Labor Day 3-day weekend and got to hang around with some family and friends and whatnot, and just had a good time out there. I hope it went well and safe for everybody out there. We are presented by Third Base Brewery at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids, locally owned and operated. Stop on by and say hi to them. Tell them the gang at KGYM sent you. And we do appreciate everything they do for us at Third Base at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Good afternoon. Did you miss me at 3 o'clock yesterday? You can be truthful.
I didn't even give it a thought.
I didn't either.
Tell you the truth. But good afternoon, you and everyone else out there. It was an interesting. Yeah, we can call it the first weekend of college football, can't we?
Yeah.
For a lot of teams, some interesting results. We'll talk about Iowa and Iowa State. We had a no hitter in baseball, which was fun to watch.
Second one of the year for Mr. Verlander.
Cardinals wrap up their season. Very fine regular season it was, despite running through dozens of players. And the Cardinals will start the Midwest League playoffs tomorrow at home.
That is correct, at home. By the way, happy, and our colleague Jeff Downing, who's filling in for Rick Swann on Smart FM this week, told us about this. What was it? Happy National Bowling Team Day, or something to that effect.
That's what he said, yeah.
Because today is pretty much the day around America. It's a red-letter day where bowling leagues get underway all across this great land of ours, including B&A and the Evergreen League tomorrow night. We're a day late, usually a dollar short as well. Usually a pin or two short, but more on that coming up tomorrow. We, of course, have the text line open and available to you out there. The Hurtinus Dr. Jewelers text line at 319-366-1600, 319-366-1600. Hurtinus Dr. Jewelers, located conveniently on the Ped Mall in downtown Iowa City. Your phone calls, your texts, welcome. Your thoughts about the opening weekend in college football. As Iowa wins, progressively got better as the night wore on against Miami, Ohio. Miami, Ohio, whatever. Anyway, Iowa got the victory in that one. Iowa State got out of their game with UNI by the skin of their teeth as the Cyclones win it in triple overtime. That and some shockers around the country. A lot of teams that were expected to do well did not do well. Teams that were supposed to win against lesser opponents did not win against lesser opponents. It was a very interesting week one of the college football season. I loved it. It was great to have football back.
Yeah, the folks in Knoxville, Tennessee are not very happy these days, and across Tennessee.
Have we had a Rusty sighting yet? Or is Rusty okay?
I exchanged texts with Rusty on Saturday.
I didn't have the heart to do it.
Needless to say, he wasn't happy. A lot of issues there in Tennessee. Losing to Georgia State, a team that was 2-10 last year, and maybe didn't dominate Tennessee, but played better than Tennessee.
And Tennessee could not stop Georgia State.
No, and the quarterbacking position is not good at Tennessee. It's only one game, but really an awful one for Tennessee. And then Purdue coughed up a big lead out at Nevada, earning one Nevada player a scholarship for his game-winning kick. That was cool.
That was nice. Not for Purdue, but for the young man.
Yeah. Northwestern did not play well at Stanford. A lot of us talked about that doing our picks, that going two or three time zones away is often not a good proposition, and it wasn't for Northwestern. Plus, the Wildcats lost their starting quarterback or a quarterback for a while.
Right.
Trent Green's son, TJ, although he and one other were kind of neck and neck. And Green came in relief.
Yeah, because of the ineffectiveness of the much ballyhooed starting quarterback
right.
that Northwestern had brought in. And he couldn't get the offense going. And then Green came in, and then Green got hurt. Looks like he is going to be out for the season. USC lost their quarterback for the season. There's clamoring about many coaches out there saying that colleges should have preseasons or a scrimmage. But then you get money involved, and then where are you going to have it? And it's opens up a whole can of worms. But I think that's the fun part about college football. You just don't know what you're going to get in that first weekend of the season.
True enough. And if you're Iowa State, do you really want a week off?
No.
I mean, that's really arguable. I would think you'd want to get back on the field and play another game. But the Cyclones do have a bye week this week before entertaining Iowa next Saturday. So I'm sure the coaching staff over there will iron some things out. But Iowa State did
they
miss Montgomery and Butler in this first game. Is the offensive line was not great. The defense was okay.
I thought the defense was really good.
Yeah.
I thought the defense was really, really good. I could watch that defense all day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the best defense in the Big 12 again, I think, hands down, especially after watching Oklahoma and listening to Black Legend McDonough say, oh, this Oklahoma defense is so much better, as they give up another 30-yard play to Houston and things like that. But your thoughts, and they're already starting to fly in at 319-366-1600. Before we get to that, AP poll is out for the week. Not a lot of change. Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, Ohio State, 1 through 5, 6 through 10. Auburn goes into the top 10 after their come-from-behind win over Oregon. When things couldn't get worse for the Pac-12, Oregon blows a lead. USC's quarterback is out for the year. Thank goodness Utah won the Holy War. LSU, Michigan, Notre Dame, who didn't look particularly great but did what they had to do. Texas is 9, Auburn 10. Florida, 11. Texas A&M is 12. Utah, Washington, Penn State. Oregon only fell to 16, which is a head-scratcher. Wisconsin's up to 17. UCF, 18. Michigan State, 19. Iowa is at 20, which I believe is where they were last week. And then Syracuse, Washington State, Stanford, Boise State into the poll. Nebraska moves up one spot. They take Iowa State's spot in the top 25, as that's where we are right now in the AP poll. Iowa State falls out. Yes, they would be 26 if you went out that far. 319-366-1600.
Ryan and Walford weighing in. Now, Will McElvain looks like the real deal. He's going to give D coordinators in the NBC many headaches. I'm an Iowa fan, but all the Iowa teams, I think he impressed me more than anyone I watched over the weekend.
A lot of people fell in love with Will McElvain over the weekend. I don't think there's any doubt. The Fran Tarkington references have started.
Freshman out of Des Moines Lincoln, who you would have thought would be scared as hell going into Ames in his first varsity start, but acquitted himself very well, I thought.
He did acquit himself very
well. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, I wanted to pop in and talk about Will McElvain because I'm going to second that text. Of all the Iowa State, UNI players that I saw this weekend, maybe it's just because I came in with super low expectations, but that kid impressed the hell out of me. I thought, when we did the pick six, Todd said that he didn't think you and I had a chance in that game, and I was right there. You know, with that
I think a lot of us were, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. Just...
Except you, Mark.
I don't really have a whole lot to say that hasn't already been said, but just hats off to Will McElvain. He showed up, was not scared of the big stage there, and he balled out. That kid, he's gonna be a player.
How many times do we underestimate you and I?
Every year.
Especially in this game. And they caused most of the damage in that game. Played very, very well in that one. 319-366-1600. Kenneth on the text line. Not mentioned by a lot of folks, but I was pleased with the tight ends, especially Bayer, or Bear, as he was known on the broadcast. and among others.
I think Byer had three catches, did well. Nate Weeding did not catch a ball.
He's the blocking
guy. I thought
guy.
He was a block. Yeah, he did well in the blocking. They're not going to be Fant and Hockenson. We know that. Want them to be serviceable, and it was a pretty good first outing.
32-63, talking about Northwestern's quarterback situation, asking, is there any chance that Kurt Warner's kid plays for Northwestern?
He's at Nebraska, is he not?
I thought he was.
He's a wide receiver at Nebraska.
Maybe there's another kid.
There could be.
Check the roster. Kyle, check the roster on that one. I have not seen that. Cyclone Tim, I was at the game. The Cyclones did a lot of self-damage, but give the Panthers some credit. They played well. ISU will improve. They always do under Matt Campbell. Maybe not in time to beat Iowa, but we will trust the process. I guess the extra week off will give them the opportunity to try and fix some things, and then the next week to concentrate on Iowa. Yes and yes. Iowa State's going to get better, there's no doubt, and the defense is fine. The thing I worried about in the offseason kind of reared its head Saturday, and that is as much – think back to Iowa 2 or 3 years ago, Mark, when Iowa had a set of wide receivers, when Fant and Hockenson, maybe Hockenson's redshirt season, and Iowa didn't have a receiver that could spread the defense, that could go deep. This is kind of what Iowa State looks like. Jones had 14 catches, but they were all short. I mean, you got to tip your hat to him.
Mm-hmm.
That's a heck of a day. But they didn't have Hakeem Butler to go and stretch the defense deep. David Montgomery wasn't running behind a line that wasn't particularly good on that particular day. Tried three or four different backs. Crony was good at the end and into the overtimes for Iowa State. Almost gave the game up, though, on the fumble. Brock Purdy jumping on that thing.
Saved the game.
Saved the game for Iowa State. No doubt about it. 319-366-1600. Offensively, Iowa State's got some things to improve on. And they will not have a game again until they play Iowa. I said this in my sports view earlier today. I didn't think Iowa had much of a chance in 2 weeks to go into Ames. I think Iowa has a better chance, a lot better chance than I thought going into the weekend to go into Ames and win that game. They got to do it, but I think the odds went up.
Kirk Ferentz met the media today, and some updates on the injury front. Tackle Alaric Jackson, who went out in the first quarter with a knee injury, is going to be out the next two games at least with a sprain there. Cole Banwart, an offensive lineman, has a shot this week, according to Kirk Ferentz. Riley Moss is out 4 to 6 weeks with a leg injury, and Julius Brents will be out for a couple of weeks.
Remember when Brents and Moss were the two starters last year as freshmen, about halfway through the season or a little past the halfway mark?
I guess my main takeaway is that it was a very uneven first half for Iowa, in which it was not very good on third down defense in the first half. I thought Gabbert played great for Miami.
Miami was better than we thought.
Mm-hmm.
Give Coach Martin a lot of credit. The Red Hawks came in and played a really good first half against Iowa, but when Iowa went out and got a couple scores, almost on the first play, you were one play off on the Oliver Martin call, who looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
Good footwork, and I think he's going to play even more coming up against Rutgers this week.
Nice touch by Stanley on that touchdown pass. Four freshmen played, and Kirk Ferentz said they're going to be in the mix going forward, including the tailback, Goodson, who played most of the fourth quarter, I believe, and did not see Ivory Kelly Martin. We saw him, but he didn't touch the ball, I don't think.
I thought he had one run. If not, it was, but you're right. Looks like Goodson's ahead of Ivory Kelly Martin right now. And four true freshmen look like they're going to be, as Kirk puts it, they're in the Army now for Iowa.
Pretty solid second half, I thought, for the Iowa Hawkeyes. A couple head scratchers. Kelly Martin was one of them. And then AJ Epenesa was a non-factor.
He was a no-show. And I talked about that in my Sports View today as well.
He had one assisted tackle is all.
He not playing every down. Playing every down is different than going in as a third down pass rush guy, where you can just pin your ears back and go. And he tried to do that. That motor's going for AJ. And I think he's learned a lot in that game. But it was not a good game for AJ Epenesa. He took the circuitous route quite a bit, trying to get to the quarterback or the running back. And like you said, I think he had one assisted tackle on the night. And he'll learn from that. I guarantee you they've spent many hours since Saturday breaking things down. And the same thing with Iowa State, by the way.
Small sample size, but Michael Sleep Dalton's only punt of the game, 31 yards. Underwhelming, but again, a small sample size.
319-366-1600 here at 319 as we break down Iowa, Iowa State, and UNI. 38-44, Cyclones held back. Will look better September 14th. Maybe early, but there was no holding back in the second half for Iowa State when UNI had the lead in that game, and Iowa State had to tie it in the last seconds. You can say holding back, but when you're in that situation with the most expectations you've ever had in your program's history and you're facing a loss to an in-state FCS team, you're not holding back at the end.
Kirk Ferentz said Tristan Wirfs, who moved from right to left tackle when Alaric Jackson was injured, might have had his best game as a Hawkeye. Wirfs will remain at left tackle. I think Iowa used 9 or 10 offensive linemen in the game,
including Kyler Schott of North Lynn.
Indeed.
And what a job he did in that particular ball game. Hats off to him. I'm a little biased, but two local guys really shined this weekend. One was Mr. Schott from North Lynn, and the other was Cedar Rapids, Washington's Orion Vance. He had a great camp. Heard that from several people in the Washington in the know. That Iowa State and Matt Campbell were really liking what he was doing. So much they moved Mike Rose to the outside so Orion Vance can be the middle linebacker. And he was a holy terror on Saturday.
Yes, he was.
70-20 says AJ had three white jerseys blocking him, 30 of the 49 snaps he played. I did not see that. He was double teamed a few times. I don't think it was 30 out of 49. And I watched the game a couple times. I will admit he was double-teamed a few times, but there were times that they went one-on-one and just let him go to the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not. It's nitpicking. It's nitpicking. He's going to see the film. He's going to be told, hey, you can't do that on each and every play. And they're going to get it fixed. Same thing with Iowa State and a lot of stuff they're going to do. In the next 2 weeks, they're going to get a lot of things fixed, I would imagine, as well.
We did have our first go-around of the Emil's Hideaway pick six. And Kyle Mann is your first week winner. And winning, Kyle won four. Can you read that on the board, the winner from our listenership?
That'd be Brian in Anamosa.
Brian in Anamosa wins a gift card to Emil's Hideaway. Kyle, Todd, and Scott Unash all went 4-2. But Kyle won it. On the tiebreaker, Scott, you needed Iowa State and UNI to go one more overtime.
Yeah, I did because I got prices righted.
You did indeed. Myself, Alex, and Dave Alec all went 2-4. Gym class taking a 2-game lead in the team race at 10-8. We'll do it again this week. This week on Thursday, as you and I will be out at Linmar for our first stop on the tailgate tour.
Yeah, looking forward to that and looking forward to the game on Friday night. We got a Thursday night or two. Hempstead comes to Washington. Two teams looking for their first win. I'm looking forward to seeing the new Kingston Digs. You got to see them on Friday.
I did indeed.
Looks nice.
Looks great.
Looks nice. And then on Friday, we're out at Linmar. Linmar and Kennedy going at it. That should be a lot of fun. South Gym will be West Liberty at Solon. This is Cyclone Tim weighing in again. Is there something in the water at North Lynn? He thought Schott was impressive, no doubt. Right now, there's something in the water.
We're talking about Hilmers and Schatz and
Millers and people like that. Yeah, Coggin, Walker, and Troy Mills have things going right now.
By the way, that's the Whirlpool Careers High School Tailgate Tour. Welcome aboard for this go-around.
That's very much so. Whirlpool Careers, thank you for hopping on board as a presenting sponsor of the Tailgate Tour. 6745 asks, how long before Schatz gets a scholarship? Got to think it's probably going to be sooner than later.
A kid in Nevada made one kick and got a scholarship.
It was a big kick.
It was a big kick.
It was a big kick. That kind of, yeah, that deflated the balloon over there in West Lafayette a little bit that I had seen about a month ago visiting friends over there that Purdue football was actually the talk, not basketball. And that went down the drain, I think.
I think Purdue has Vanderbilt this week, and about a touchdown favorite. We'll be making that selection on the Emil's Hideaway pick six this week.
We're going to take a quick break, come back, talk more about Iowa State and UNI, take a look around the country as well. The NFL, they get underway this week, and a whole lot more. Michael Oss going to join us in about 6-7 minutes or so on this edition of the Gym Class. Stay tuned. More to come. We're presented by Third Base Brewery on the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Back with more after this.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all your favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Friday afternoon at 3. Tune in to 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM for the Whirlpool Careers Tailgate Tour. The Gym Class will be coming to you live from Linmar before their matchup with Kennedy. This is Scott Unesh, and I'll be your host alongside Mark Dukes. Countdown to kickoff with us as we chat with coaches and athletes and get you ready for high school football action. Whirlpool Careers, Iowa National Guard, and area businesses will be there too. The Whirlpool Careers Tailgate Tour, Friday afternoon at 3 on The Gym.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes!
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes!
Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with the back-to-school maintenance special from Linder Tire. Oil change, tire and battery checks, plus more for under $35.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Dave, did you forward me this email from Svetlana?
Yes.
You want me to interview her for a job?
Well, it says she's looking to get down to business.
It also says she likes gentle bear cub man who knows what he likes.
I'm gentle.
Dave, this is a Ukrainian dating site.
Corporate said we should hire more diverse candidates.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Hills Bank is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. Connect with a banker in office or on our Here app. Hills Bank. Connection is here. Member FDIC.
One stop left on this three-city, 10-game road trip. Twins in Boston to take on the Red Sox with a three-game series beginning on Tuesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Starting at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
We'll join up with Twins baseball coming up tonight. The Twins and the Bo Sox. Boston needing wins, and they will take on the Twins coming your way tonight. We'll join up at 7 o'clock, that on 107.5 FM. Same thing tomorrow night, Twins and the Red Sox. Then on Thursday night, we've got football and football for you. 1600 AM, we'll have Hempstead and Washington. 107.5, 106.3 FM, the NFL opener between your Chicago Bears and CBS's CBSSports.com power poll number one, Green Bay. Yeah, that's what I said.
Let's see if they're number one come Friday.
How about that? Not clickbait at all. 319-366-1600. Mike Colas will join us here in just a few minutes. Let's go to the phones and bring in our friend Eugene here on this Tuesday. Hi, Eugene.
Hi. I was just going to ask you guys this. We had 10 people catch the ball at various points in the game. Do you think it's going to remain that way? Or are we going to have one or two receivers kind of lead the pack, and I'll hang up and listen? Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Eugene. Appreciate that. Very good question. I think that in my thinking anyway is may not have 10, but I think you're going to have 6, 7, maybe 8 on any given night or any given day as far as the Hawkeye receivers. Oliver Martin's not even listed on the two deep still going into the game against Rutgers on Saturday. Not much change in the two deep, by the way. Basically, with Banwart moving in and Alaric Jackson moving out, that was about the only change.
Answer to Eugene's question, I'm not sure it's going to be 10, but it's going to be 6 to 8, I would think, each and every week, because you do have Brandon Smith, you have Amir Smith-Marset, you have Erganey, who looked good, Oliver Martin. Are we going to see any backs catching passes, whether it be Sargent or Ivory Kelly Martin, whoever it may be? You're going to have some tight end catches. Yeah, I think it, and a lot of times in the past couple of years, it has been spread out. And I actually think Iowa's a better team if the distribution is spread out.
Everybody's a better team if your distribution is spread out. Unless you have, like, Hockenson and Fant, Hakeem Butler, and a Lazard together. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's Iowa and Iowa State have been pretty blessed the last couple of years with some great receivers. Now, none of them are there anymore. Other people have to step up. We'll see.
Another discussion point over the weekend was that in that Iowa State-Northern Iowa game, when it got into the overtimes, maybe in the end of regulation, who knows what, but there was discussion about whether Northern Iowa should have went for a two-point conversion at some point. And that's the subject of our poll question at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emils. Should you and I have gone for two? Yes or no? And thanks to Emils on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot, and behind Taco John's.
Some discussion about that after the game on Saturday from you and I, folks, and
it's a huge gamble.
Boy, it's a huge gamble.
You didn't have your decorated tight end in the game.
No, Briley Moore is going to be out for a while.
Yeah.
I said in the sports office to you guys a little bit earlier on that if it was a situation where it was a lot of fluky things that got you and I into the overtime, then, yeah, I can see going for two. But you and I played them pretty much straight up. And in that situation, I think you just keep doing that.
You and I's offense didn't find the end zone until the overtimes.
No, it settled for field goals. The defense scored the touchdown on the controversial. Mm-hmm. Was it an incomplete pass? Was it a fumble play? I think Mark Farley played it fine. That's the way I would have done it.
I think you have as much chance of winning playing it straight up than you do going for two. Had it gone to another overtime, you would have had to go
for
two.
You had to go for two this year, yeah, in the third overtime.
Fourth.
No, third now.
Oh, is it?
It is the third now. Yeah. Yep. So, but Iowa State didn't have to go for two since they won the game.
Yeah.
70-20 on the Iowa game. You think coaching staff told Stanley to run if he had open field? That's something we never saw last year. I guess that's a question for Brian Ferentz and Nate Stanley. But it certainly worked on a couple of different occasions, especially one where Stanley got about a 15-yard gain. And you got to carry it every once in a while. I'd like to see Stanley get down a little quicker, but maybe he wanted to take a little bit of a hit or whatnot. Show the metal a little bit out there. What was the surprise of the weekend before we get to a break and bring in Mike Colas? What surprised you the most? Was there one thing or a couple things?
In state?
Anywhere.
Well, Tennessee.
Anywhere. Tennessee surprised you?
Tennessee greatly surprised me. I think you and I surprised me. Picked to finish, what, fifth in the Missouri Valley Football Conference?
Picked to finish fifth.
That's a much better football team than fifth, I think, even though it's a really tough league.
The thing that surprised me, other than teams named Alabama and Clemson, is the fact that nobody really ran away and hid over the weekend. Maybe the scholarship limits have something to do with it, but I mean, you saw Nebraska struggled with South Alabama. Ohio State, you know, didn't destroy FAU. You know, Middle Tennessee played Michigan decently on Saturday night. Middle Tennessee comes to Iowa City in 3 weeks. That's not a bad football team. Miami, Ohio was a lot better than people thought.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it's maybe that the overall balance of college football is getting a little bit better. We'll have to see. Is that a good thing, though?
I don't know. Earlier, USC wasn't very good either.
ETN is really good. Clemson, can we just have Clemson and Alabama play 2 out of 3? And let's just get this thing going here. Before we get to a break, Michael on the Hurtina Stocker Jewelers text line. I was at the Iowa State-UNI game, and I believe 100% that UNI should have gone 4-2 in the second overtime. Not for the offensive reasons you listed, but because it was getting pretty clear that UNI's defense is getting gassed. They're having a hard time stopping Iowa State's offense. You could see it in the first overtime, then the rollover in the second overtime. And regardless of the offense at situation, I think you take that shot. Yeah, there's no wrong answer to this, Michael. And I can see your point as well. We went there to win the game, right? Right, Herm? All right.
You're choking me up here.
I know. We're going to take a break, come back, and when we return, Michael Oss joins us to talk Iowa and Miami and Iowa State, you and I. Back with more after this.
One player can't beat an entire field. That's not how the game is played. To win, you need the support, backup, and protection of a team. So when you're ready to make your way in the world, join the team at Smart 263. Their apprenticeship program gives you outstanding training, real support, and a smart game plan for a great paying career. And you earn while you learn. Get details on their apprenticeship program at smart263.org. Sheet Metal Workers 263, helping you win at the game of life.
Get ready, Solon. The Whirlpool Careers Tailgate Tour is coming Friday to get you pumped up for the game. Whirlpool Careers, Iowa National Guard, and area businesses will be there too.
Today, business happens here, here, and virtually anywhere. Because today, innovative companies are reinventing the way business happens. And they need people who can keep up with the expertise and technology to get packages to over 150 million delivery points. So, who can help you deliver the future of commerce? The United States Postal Service. See why we deliver more e-commerce packages to homes than anyone at usps.com/future.
Drop the sunscreen and step away from the grill. Dell's Labor Day sale is here with massive deals. Save up to $300 on some of the latest Dell and Alienware computers with Intel Core processors. And don't miss out on an amazing selection of top brand electronics like iRobot Roomba vacuums, all with free shipping on everything. Just call 800-BUY-DELL or visit Dell.com/Labor Day. Don't miss this summer savings finale. Call 800-BUY-DELL for huge Labor Day deals.
An interesting creature inhabits the flat, arid plains of many an automobile dashboard, the bobblehead. It's most agreeable and will nod along to anything, despite having no brain function. But when the bobblehead hears how GEICO not only saves people money, but also gives them access to licensed agents 24/7 online and over the phone, he'll nod even more vigorously because he knows you should switch. Because yes, switching to GEICO is a no-brainer. Easy, bobblehead, easy. You're going to get whiplash.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game where you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Back with you in the gym class on KGYM. A reminder, the I'm On Knockout Pool at KGYMRadio.com begins this week. You need to get signed up for your chance to win $500 in cash. First NFL game comes up on Thursday night, Bears and the Packers. If you want to take one of those teams, you need to be signed up by Thursday. If not, you can take one of the remaining 30 teams and go with one of those in the I'm On knockout pool. More information at KGYMRadio.com. You must be 18 or older to participate. Mike Loss participating with us here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Read his stuff at thegazette.com. Also, give him a follow on Twitter and read his stuff early on there, like the fine story I'm going to enjoy after we're done here on Kyler Schott. And happy first weekend of the college football season to you, Mike. It was a very interesting one, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess. No, there was actually quite a bit of weirdness. I sort of enjoyed that. Tennessee, I was thinking about this. Tennessee getting beat by Georgia State. It was just 5 years ago Tennessee beat Iowa in the Tax Slayer Bowl. And I remember after that game, it was in downtown Jacksonville, and all the Tennessee fans were, and there were a lot of them there because it was a first bowl game in a couple of years, and they were real high on the new head coach, Butch Jones, and the recruiting was going great, and everybody thought that this was just the beginning. You know, great times are ahead. Well, Butch Jones is gone, and here Saturday the team lost at home to Georgia State. They're miserable. And after that very same game, a lot of Iowa fans were fed up with Ferentz, and the grumbling was more than grumbling. It was in some circles, it was barking. Well, Iowa stayed the course, and Tennessee, meanwhile, is, red-faced right now.
Main takeaway on the Iowa game, Mike?
Oh, just in general, I thought it was real solid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got pushed for a half. That's going to happen in game one. You saw it all over the country. And Miami's a decent program. I mean, they finished strong last year, and they're a competitive MAC team. They were 6-2 in the MAC last year. You know, they're not a Big Ten team. And that showed. That showed in the second half. They got worn down. They were out talented. They were out physical. But they came in and competed. So I thought it was good for Iowa because they, after a first half that, wasn't too great, there was no panic. They did what they do. And I saw a lot from the offense that I thought was reason for people to be optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I think, in the wide receiver position with all the different receivers that caught a pass, including Oliver Martin. His first catch goes for a touchdown, really showed good footwork and a good pass by Nate Stanley on that particular play. But Reganey was also there. Tracy, up and down the line, what was not a strength two or three, maybe even 4 years ago, is certainly turning into what could be a strength for this football team.
Yeah, as it should with a Big Ten program when Look, they didn't have to lean on wide receivers the last 2 years as much as they do this year, but I don't think that they had quite the talent at that position to lean on that they do now. And the names you mentioned, I think five wide receivers had what I would call plays of impact and in different forms. But Brandon Smith, Mir Smith-Marset, you mentioned Tracy and Martin, Reganey. They all had big plays in that game of varying distances and situations, but they all manifested themselves. And, I think that's a pretty good receiving core. So that's different. And I also like the running backs. Mekhi Sargent had a wonderful game. Not just running the ball, but coming out of the backfield and catching passes. That was an element that really wasn't much of his game last year. It's always a nice thing to have from at least one of your running backs. And he looked like a much more confident ball player I thought. He finished strong last season. The Mississippi State game doesn't count because they could have, you know, they could have had Le'Veon Bell in the backfield. I don't know how many rushing yards they would have had in that game, but he finished the regular season strong, but adding the receiving to what he already does is it's a really nice element.
Mike Scott referenced your column now at thegazette.com online about Kyler Schott, the walk-on from North Lynn who came on and played very, very well when Alaric Jackson got hurt, not in his position but at guard. This guy sounds like a real character.
Yeah, he was – today was his first what you'd call a press conference.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how it works for people who don't know is every Tuesday in the Iowa football building, they have players available who are requested for interviews. And so, you know, the prominent players usually have several reporters around them at one time. And, you know, they get used to it. Nate Stanley's been through this 100 times now and so forth. But this was the first time that Kyler Schott of Coggin had ever done this. I mean, he'd only played three plays in his college career before he got put into the game in the first half on Saturday night. And then, as you said, you know, did a fine job. And I mean, technically and physically, you name it, energy-wise, he was really good. So people requested him, myself included, for today at the press conference. And it was, you know, I asked him if he'd ever been through anything like this. And no, he had not. But the whole time he was there, 20 minutes or so, he's smiling and swaying and, you know, just seemed to be enjoying himself. And they say that that's just how he is all the time, you know, until he's on a football field and then he's 290 pounds or something else.
Very interesting, too, that as he came out of the field, I think someone reported that all five linemen were heavyweight wrestling place winners at one time.
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
For Iowa. Yeah.
Yes. It's never been a secret that
no.
The Ferences like their wrestlers as offensive linemen. But this was just, I don't know if this was the first or not, but for one thing, all five guys are from Iowa. And then when, you know, Jackson was taken out, as you said, he was a basketball player in Detroit in the winter time, but here comes Schott, who was a state runner up, was 50-2 his senior season at North Lynn. You got the Paulson brothers, Tristan Wirfs, obviously was a great high school wrestler, and
Tyler Linderbaum,
who also was terrific in his first start.
Yeah.
At center, I mean, might have been the story of the game, how well he came in his first start at center and did what he did.
The only negative was Alaric Jackson going down, but like you said, Kyler Schott coming in, and Iowa got a bunch of linemen in. Iowa got a bunch of people into the game, period, including, it sounds like, four guys, true freshmen, that, as Kirk puts it, they're in the uniform, they're joining the Army now, so pretty much sounds like those four at least are going to be taking the red shirts off this year.
Yeah, they got more offensive linemen in that game than maybe I expected, but that was by design. Schott was going to play no matter what, and he was going to play in the first half, but they had to rush him in when Jackson got hurt. And Jackson, I guess, is going to be out a couple games. But, you know, it's running back Tyler Goodson, freshman, came in, and it was late in the game, but he had a good fourth quarter. And it sounds like, I mean, I don't know, but looks like he might be pushing to be in that rotation. And this is, you know, it's the nature of college football. The competition within a team never stops. And the fact that they've got good competition at wide receiver and running back is vital. And I mean, you expect it from offensive line, but you know, having a surplus of running backs isn't something that they've had every year, and likewise at receiver. So, you know, I it's one game and I don't know what to make of it really, but it was, you know, it was just, to me, it was a really, in the end, it felt like, okay, this is a good team.
Don't want to make too much of it, but A.J. Epenesa was pretty quiet, and maybe that was due to the attention that Miami's offensive line paid him. Did you make anything of it?
I think that was entirely because of that.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't stop learning how to pressure quarterbacks, you know, and mow down offensive linemen. He was doubled and sometimes even tripled a little bit. So that's, you know, it's going to be a way of life. And I was, you know, Phil Parker's going to have to come up with something to adapt for that. But what that means is you're affecting games. You know, you might not be racking up the sack totals, but you are definitely affecting games. I mean, Imani Jones, when he got his sack, there was nobody around him.
No.
Well, that didn't happen all by, you know, that wasn't all on Imani. So you have to look at it that way, I guess. The fact is that their defense held Miami to like 260 yards, roughly. And that's a winning performance. And 10 points, or 14 points, was it? Yeah, 14. You'll take that. You'll always take that. So 260 and 14. That would win you a lot of games.
Yes, it will. Before we leave Iowa, as Michael Oz joins us here at 3:49 on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class this week on KGYM. Kirk Ferentz not really enamored with a Week 2 Big Ten game. He wouldn't have liked the late 70s when they used to play these right out of the chute every once in a while anyway. But Rutgers comes to town with Coach Ash, an Iowa native. As Rutgers fell behind 2 touchdowns against UMass, but did what they were supposed to do last Friday night.
Yeah, I watched some of that game, and they started really badly. They fell behind 21-7, and then in the second quarter, they just was like, "Okay, we're competent." I mean, I think they scored 31 points in the second quarter. I'd have to double check, but they scored freely, and they then ran away with the game. The final was 48-21. And apparently got a quarterback, left-hander, a guy named Carter. I think it's McLean Carter, who transferred from Texas Tech, where, you know, Texas Tech obviously recruits quarterbacks pretty well. So that's kind of interesting. The team that Rutgers played was Massachusetts. It's one of the bottom feeders of FBS. So I don't think anybody in Rutgers under any illusions that they're going to go from 1-11 to 11-1. But you might see a team that, you know, presents a challenge. I know that when Iowa played at Rutgers 3 years ago, it was only a 14-7 game. And that was kind of hard to fathom, given that all the good teams in the East Division were putting up 50s on Rutgers and have been, I think, since Rutgers joined the conference. But I see Iowa's a 20-point favorite, and, you know, I don't know if that's where it should be or not, but, you know, Iowa's got to win this game. It should. Will.
I'm sure with Iowa playing at night and Iowa State, you and I kicking off at 11, you get an opportunity to put your eyes on that game in Ames. What'd you make of that one?
Strange game. Wacky. Really wacky. And there were some things I didn't care for on Iowa State's side. It's like, where was the long passing game? Just didn't seem to be there. I didn't look like Purdy was terribly comfortable in the passing game outside of the short stuff and a little of the intermediate. I don't know. I mean, the offensive line, I don't know. Were they improved? I'm not sure I saw it. Northern Iowa, to their credit, I thought was terrific on defense. And the quarterback, McElvain, was just, I mean, oh, my gosh.
He's fun, isn't he?
Look, you and I shouldn't have taken that game to overtime. And the reason they did was, to me, there two primary reasons. McIlvain's making plays out of absolute nothing. I mean, just, you know, drawn in the dirt, basically, scrambling for his life and somehow getting it done on third and 12s. And then the freshman kicker from Cedar Falls, he knocks down a 49 and a 50-yarder. It's 4 for 4. If he just misses one of those, there's no overtime, you know, goey homie. But he was perfect, and he was great. So they caught some lightning in a bottle in those two areas. But if you look at the stats, Iowa State dominated UNI the same way Iowa did to Miami. Total yards were almost identical, for and against. They just didn't, you know, finish off a lot of drives. And the run game was okay, not great. But I thought the defense picked right up where it left off in the regular season last year. To me, it looks like Iowa State's got what we've been saying all offseason they've got, which is pretty salty defense. And I, you know, I think that this thing maybe tamped down some expectations about them, but they get some things figured out offensively, and I expect they will. I mean, they started last year at Iowa, and they had they scored 3 points, and you thought, ugh. And as the season went along, Purdy and Montgomery and Butler and company, they scored some points. So I wouldn't, you know, toss Iowa State into some sort of, they're not that good. Because I think with 2 weeks to get ready for their next game, which happens to be against Iowa, that's going to be a tough one.
It's definitely football season, Mike, but I really want you to do a piece on this Chris Baker, 33-year-old, makes the PGA Tour. What a heck of a story that is.
Yeah, well, I had something in today's Gazette. It was, it's funny, you know, it's he's not an Iowan, but it's like it's the Iowa prototype story. It seems like you can't get there from here unless you really go through some, you know, some grinding and some self-doubt and I don't know what else, some obstacles. This guy's been on what used to be the web.com tour. Now it's called something else for 14, 15, 16, 17, 6 years. And he's played at like 130 some tournaments. And he needed to make a putt on the 18th hole yesterday to get his PGA Tour card after he had double bogeyed the previous hole. And he just curled in and the party was on.
Literally.
Yeah. And he's 33 years old, and he's kicked around, you know, on the affiliated tour of the PGAs for several years and on the smaller tours before that. And he stayed with it. And it's a hard life on those tours because even the good players aren't making money, really. And somehow he survived and fought and fought and fought, and he's going to be on the PGA Tour next week.
As a show of good faith, I think you should take him in the 15th round next year. We'll leave you with that. All right, Mike, we're out of time. Hey, appreciate it, and we will talk next week as we get into Iowa State Week. We'll see what happens in the Big Ten opener. Thank you, as always. Appreciate it, and we'll continue reading the stuff at Gazette.com and on Twitter at Halas. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Mike Halas joining us here. We'll take a break, come back, wrap her up after this.
Here's Howie Long for Skechers Wide Fit Footwear.
I'm 6'5", and I can tell you there are certain challenges in life that only big guys understand. Regular clothes don't fit. Heck, regular cars don't fit. But when it comes to shoes, Skechers gets it. That's why I wear Skechers Wide Fit. They've got extra room throughout, giving you room to breathe. And they've got Skechers exclusive air-cooled memory foam for comfort that lasts all day long.
Find Skechers Wide Fit at a Skechers store near you or wherever stylish shoes are sold. Skechers, comfort included.
Don't you hate scrambling on the road when you're looking for a place to spend the night?
We all do. That's why when you travel for work, stay at La Quinta by Wyndham.
They've got everything you need to tackle the job, from free high-speed Wi-Fi to a spacious workspace right in your room.
Plus, their Bright Side breakfast comes with waffles, eggs, fruit, and meat.
Now, that's a game changer.
They've got over 900 locations so you can cover the gridiron.
And best of all, they're part of Wyndham Rewards, so those extra points really add up.
Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you triumph. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back to No Brainer. Gary.
I'll take cars and trucks.
What's the best way to protect your engine from gum, varnish, and corrosion?
Stabil 360.
Gasoline with ethanol can go bad in as little as blank.
30 days?
Using Stabil 360 ethanol treatment year-round is what?
Is it a no-brainer?
It is. You win peace of mind, Gary.
Awesome. Can I have money?
Stabil 360. It's a no-brainer. Available where fuel additives are sold.
Back with you on the Gym Class to wrap things up here on the Tuesday edition of the program. We'll talk Rutgers football coming up tomorrow, and also Chris Liss of rotowire.com. He will join us. So get your fantasy football questions ready on the eve of the season, which starts on Thursday with the Packers heading to Soldier Field to take on the Chicago Bears. And we've got the Twins and the Red Sox. We'll join it in progress tonight at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM. Twins got a little bit of... a cushion now.
Yep, so 5.5 game lead.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3. Stay tuned, Tom and Alex next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3.